A regional fly-in succeeds despite rising gas prices. NASA has delayed Endeavour's launch to at least May 16th. And AV Seminars says its FERC webinars are a hit. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 9th, 2011. A CFI has died as a result of a Piper Sport LSA ferry flight gone wrong about 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time Friday night. The plane was being flown from Florida to Illinois for the owner by 23-year-old Scott Tizak of Illinois. Police reports indicate the wreckage came down in widely separated portions. Local media has reported that the plane came down in a flat spin with a wing missing. The Hernando County, Florida Sheriff's Office places the accident scene in a wooded area near Spring Hill, not far from Hernando County Airport, but adds the pilot's remains landed nearly a mile away in front of a private home. We'll have more details as they become available. The Virginia Regional Festival of Flight reports the 2011 edition, which was held April 30th and May 1st, drew aircraft from Maine to Florida and as far west as Ohio. After years of iffy to truly bad weather, organizers were blessed with sunshine Friday through Sunday, which was credited for gate attendance up more than 150% and aircraft attending up 183% to more than 350. The Spirit of Freedom C-54 arrived on Friday afternoon and was positioned by the ground crew on the end of runway 15, close to the highway, where it functioned as a massive billboard. The 2012 Virginia Regional Festival of Flight is scheduled for April 28th through 29th next year, and it's already posted on the event website. You can also find a photo gallery of this year's event. Visit virginiaflyin.org. The Easton Airport is set to host Maryland's first Festival of Flight this Saturday, May 14th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The festival will feature fast team information sessions and local aviation vendors. Tower tours will be conducted for those who register in time, and the new Explore Maryland by Air program, sponsored by the Maryland Airport Managers Association, will be unveiled. You can get more details at mdrff.org. NASA managers have further delayed Space Shuttle Endeavour's launch to no earlier than Monday, May 16th. After a meeting on Friday, they also extended the length of Endeavour's STS-134 mission to the International Space Station from 14 to 16 days. If Endeavour does launch on May 16th, liftoff would be at 8:56 a.m. Eastern Time. NASA Space Shuttle Program Launch Integration Manager Mike Moses and Shuttle Launch Director Mike Lineback will hold a news conference at Kennedy Space Center in Florida this afternoon to discuss the progress of repairs since Endeavour's launch postponement on April 29th. Launch attempts are available through May 26th. As NASA celebrated the 50th anniversary of the first U.S. manned spaceflight Thursday at Kennedy Space Center, IBM was commemorating its team of mathematicians and technologists who supported the Mercury missions of the 1960s. Professor Arthur Cohen, the mathematician who led IBM's team that supported Project Mercury, called astronaut Alan Shepard the bravest of the brave. Quote, "The IBM team had the honor of applying computing power and mathematics to support Project Mercury, to provide real-time data to NASA Mission Control. We experienced an unforgettable sense of excitement when Alan Shepard safely accomplished his mission. I will forever remember May 5, 1961, and the incredible team of NASA and IBM men and women I had the opportunity to work with," unquote. IBM says its work on Project Mercury helped lay the foundation for the company's later work on NASA's Gemini and Apollo space missions, and how businesses and governments exploit data today, from air traffic control systems to online travel reservations. AV Seminars says the CFIs who participated in the company's first progressive CFI renewal webinar have given it high marks for the innovation and convenience. Josh Hunter, a Mobile, Alabama air traffic controller, commented, quote, "My last renewal was an online correspondence course, dry and time-consuming. The webinar format combined the interaction and discussion of an in-person clinic with the ease and convenience of going online. 2 years ago, I dreaded logging on and working through the endless quizzes. This time, I actually looked forward to each evening's session," unquote. Instructors are free to pick and choose dates for two-hour modules that are convenient for their schedules, as long as they begin the first module within 6 months of their expiration, and complete all 8 modules prior to their expiration date. High-speed internet, webcams, and computer headsets are required for each attendee. The introductory price of the course is $96, which includes full processing of the temporary airman certificate. After July 4th, registration fees will increase to $129. Still ahead, Pipistrel is preparing a 4-place electric plane for the Cafe Challenge. The MaxViz Enhanced Vision System records a milestone. And a human-powered helicopter gets flight tested this week. You're listening to Aeronews.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 9th. I'm Paul Platt. After 2 years of development, Pipistrel has released preliminary information on its new Taurus G4, which will compete in the 2011 CAFE NASA Green Flight Challenge with a $1.65 million prize on the line. The aircraft will also participate in the EAA Air Venture Electric Flight Challenge with a $60,000 prize. The first Taurus G4 rolled out of the factory in Slovenia a few weeks ago for the start of the flight testing program. The unique design grafts two Pipistrel Taurus aircraft together with a center section 15 feet wide and includes a center pylon housing the electric engine and batteries. The brushless electric motor makes 145 kilowatts, or about 193 horsepower, and is centrally positioned between the two fuselages, driving a 6-foot, 2-blade propeller. The total wingspan is 75 feet, not much smaller than a DC-3. The Pipistrel Taurus G4 will arrive in the U.S. in the first week of June for registration, certification, and ongoing testing before the start of the CAFE Challenge in July. The 1,000th MaxViz Enhanced Vision System has been shipped to Augusta Westland's factory in Italy, where it's expected to be installed on an AW-139 helicopter within the next few weeks. The milestone unit is an EVS-1500 model. Elliot Troutman, MaxViz CEO, said of the product's acceptance, quote, "The company has over 50 different certified aircraft installations, covering more than 200 different aircraft types, ranging from large VIP jets and turbine helicopters to small personal piston-driven aircraft. While I hesitate to say the EVS industry has reached a tipping point, I do think it's safe to say we are close. People are now getting EVS," unquote. The MaxViz EVS-600 was designed specifically for the operating environment of the general aviation community. A 5-year, $38 million FAA contract has been awarded to Honeywell to maintain security systems at more than 1,000 locations in the agency's Air Traffic Organization Air Traffic Systems branch. Honeywell Technology Solutions Incorporated, HTSI, is the wholly owned subsidiary of Honeywell, which will execute the contract with the FAA. President Vince Trim says it's HTSI's first logistics contract with the FAA. Honeywell was awarded a base contract with 4 1-year options. HTSI will provide corrective maintenance for security systems at essential FAA locations across the country, including video surveillance equipment, physical access control equipment, intrusion detection, and barrier arms. Girls with Wings is hosting an Aviation Inspiration Day at Fleming Field in St. Paul, Minnesota on Saturday, May 28th. The day-long event is devoted to giving girls the opportunity to explore and create an interest in aviation. Girls with Wings is working in conjunction with the Minnesota Wing of the Commemorative Air Force Museum, WIP Air, EAA Chapter 1229, and the Minnesota Wing of the Civil Air Patrol, and will offer girls-only presentations and tours of aircraft, aviation manufacturing and maintenance facilities, and a World War II aviation museum. Other aviation organizations involved in promoting STEM education are encouraged to exhibit. Young Eagles flights will be available. Pre-registration is strongly encouraged, since seating is limited to 30 girls for each of the presentations. Those prepaying for their registrations will be given priority scheduling for the Young Eagles flights. Find out more at girlswithwings.com. And finally, this Wednesday, a team of students at the University of Maryland's A. James Clark School of Engineering will attempt a milestone, the first flight of a human-powered helicopter called Gamera, which they hope will give them a shot at the Sikorsky Prize offered by the American Helicopter Society. Gamera has a rotor at each of the four ends of its X-shaped frame, with the pilot's module suspended in the middle. Each crossbar of the frame is 60 feet long, and each rotor is 42 feet in diameter. Built using balsa, foam, mylar, carbon fiber, and other lightweight materials, the entire vehicle weighs only 210 pounds, including the pilot. The pilot for the tests is University of Maryland Life Sciences graduate student Judy Wexler. The Alfred Gisow Rotorcraft Center in the Clark School is one of the nation's top rotorcraft research institutions. The vehicle will be tested at the Comcast Center Auxiliary Gym at the University of Maryland in College Park. Rules require hovering for 60 seconds and achieving a maximum altitude of 3 meters above ground. No team has succeeded since the Sikorsky Prize was first offered in 1980. Hopefully, Judy is eating her Wheaties, but not too many of them. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves is back from SAFE's Pilot Training Reform Symposium and says it was a major and unexpected success. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.